to help because there's a couple of them downstairs that need to come up, and then we're going to invite all the kiddos up to watch all that happen. So I'm going to need somebody who can go downstairs and tell them later on when I'll try to give you a nod. Not yet. Not yet. I'm sorry. Because I'm going to get to preaching, you see. I'm going to get to preaching, and my brain sometimes forgets things. Okay? Easy, easy. I think I heard that's true. Hey, we're going to be teaching on water baptism today. My goal today is I want you to understand. I want you to have a better understanding of what water baptism is, what it means, and what kind of what happens. And so water baptism is one of the sacraments of the church. That's kind of a weird word. Really, there's only two. And one of them is communion, Holy Communion, or we also call it the Lord's Supper. That is the other one. They both represent and symbolize really, really wonderful things. And so I want to take you through a little bit of scripture today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn first of all to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 6. And as you're turning there, I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts with me. We're going to pray and ask the Lord's hand upon this message and our hearts. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. It is your word. It's not mine. But Lord, I adopt it into my life because it's so important and it's so valuable. Now today, would you help us to hear what your word tells us? Help us to comprehend it. Help us to understand what it teaches. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us today to get a better understanding of water baptism. Thank you, God. I just praise you ahead of time because of 10 individuals who are going to be baptized in a little while. What a joy, what a delight, and an honor and privilege it is for me. Help us to honor you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verse 6. And this is about John the Baptist. Okay, he was going around. He would go down the Jordan River and he would baptize folks. And it said, and when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Okay, when he baptized them on their confession of their sin. When they would say, I'm getting rid of my sin. Okay, that's when he would baptize them. Not before. That's really the only prerequisite of water baptism is that an individual makes Jesus the Lord of their life, that they ask for forgiveness of their sins. And then they begin a relationship with Jesus, okay? And in reality, it can happen the moment after. And as a matter of fact, I want to do a better job of getting that a little bit closer. So anytime that happens, you want to be baptized, you just let me know. We'll try to work it out. I don't know that I'm going to keep water in there all the time because it gets slimy. But we can do some things about that, okay? So John the Baptist went about baptizing folks in the Jordan River. Let's turn now to Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 16. Mark writes what Jesus had said, and this is Mark's perspective on the Great Commission. You can find a passage very similar to this in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Okay, and it says, and then he told them, that's Jesus, then Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to who? Everybody. Not just those that look like us, not just those who act like us, those, that'd be everybody, right? Can you say everybody? Everybody. All right. Okay, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Verse 16, and I think there's some words that look a little different on this screen. I'm going to highlight those. Anyone who believes, this is Jesus speaking, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Looky there. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. We don't want that. We don't want that part. So we want you to believe and we want you to be baptized. I want to make note this morning that water baptism, this thing that we're going to do here in a little while, this is not just something that the church made up. And I think that you're seeing that. John the Baptist went around doing that. Jesus then commanded it, didn't he? That's what he's doing right here. He's saying anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Matthew 28, 19, Jesus said, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm going to do today. Pastor Brandon's going to help me. We're going to do those things, okay? We're going to, Jesus commanded it. But Pastor, do you really have to be baptized to go to heaven? Well, remember there was two criminals on each side of Jesus when he was crucified. Do you remember that? One of them was giving Jesus a real hard time, and the other one said, leave that guy alone, he's clearly innocent. Which was a statement of faith. There was faith that was being activated in his heart of hearts. Jesus saw that, and he said, hey, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He died shortly after that, like Jesus did. He was not baptized, but clearly we know that Jesus said that he was going the right direction, right? So it's not a have-to thing, but when you have Sunday after Sunday to get baptized, it's not the same thing as this criminal that I just described, right? Would you agree? Okay, it's good preaching, Pastor. It's not water baptism is not a man-made thing. Instead, it is a mandate by our Lord. Let's look further. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. If I was John the Baptist, I would have been out of my mind. Like, what? Right? Imagine Jesus, the Savior. And so he comes to you and says, hey, I think I'd like you to baptize me. What? Me? But he goes ahead and does it. Okay? And John baptized Jesus, and we're going to look at what Jesus said after that, or what happened about that here in a little bit. I'm going to come back to that in just a few minutes. So let's look now at Peter. This is in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit and all that was going on. This is Peter's very first sermon, if you will. And he gets up and he preaches this amazing sermon about Jesus, the one that they crucified. And really, we're the ones that crucified Jesus too, aren't we? And why would I say that? Because it was our sin that sent Jesus to the cross. Not just the sins of the people then. Jesus was looking at everybody and saying, they've all messed up and I'm going to fix it. Isn't that exciting? I love that about Jesus. And so here, Peter, in this very first sermon, in verse 38, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter replies and he says, each of you must repent of your sins. That goes back exactly what John the Baptist was saying. He's saying, hey, y'all need to repent, and when you do, I'll baptize you in water. Okay? Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Okay? It's turning away from your sin, turning away from the world, and it says, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Look at that. Again, Peter understood that baptism was necessary. Peter understood that it was part of the program, if you will. But look at the last line there on that screen. Peter says, then, after you repent of your sins, turn to God, and are baptized, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at that. Pretty interesting, huh? Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's continue. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. And Paul here writes to the church in Rome, and he says, or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death. You see, this is important. Because one of the reasons we do the water baptism is because of what it symbolizes. And it's an act of obedience. It's an act of worship. And so if you look at when the minister takes someone under the water, at that point, they're going into, it's as if it's a grave. But wait a second, what are you talking about? No, we don't hurt them. But what it symbolizes that grave. It symbolizes death. But death to what? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked. It symbolizes death to the old person. to the old man. It symbolizes it, when someone says, I want to be baptized, they're saying, I want to identify with Christ, and I'm saying goodbye to this world and the things that the world has to offer us. Oh, there's lots of things the world has to offer you. If you like fear, addiction, you know what I'm saying? If you like not going to heaven, you like condemnation, if you like being beat down, oh, that's all the things that the world has to offer. Yeah, there's pleasures, and Moses talked about those pleasures. He said, yeah, sin's pleasurable for a season. And then guess what? If you're chained up. You got chains on you. Oh, yeah, that's what the world has to offer. Anybody want to sign up for that? No. But there's people in our churches every week that have those chains because they got them from the world. And we sang about the one who can break the chains. Anybody remember his name? It's Jesus. Okay, so when someone goes under the water, it symbolizes, hey, I'm no longer part of this world. I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? So we've got 10 people this morning who are going to do that, and they're saying, I'm identifying with Jesus. I've said yes to him. He's the Lord and the master of my life. I'm saying goodbye to this old world. Okay? Let's look here at verse 4. For when we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. See, that's what that represents. When someone goes underneath the water, it's a burial. A burial of the old person. Okay? A death to the old person. And then the next line, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. This is incredible stuff. Jesus was he was dead. Remember what the angel said? Oh, I know you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He's not here. He's been raised. And we too, so that resurrection of Christ is both for this life and for the next life. This for this life, because we don't have to be slaves to sin any longer. Yeah, it's a big deal. And the person who wants to get baptized and live their life for Christ is saying, I'm trying to live for Jesus every day. Does that mean they won't mess up? I sure wish it did. I sure wish it meant I didn't mess up. But it means that Jesus isn't going to stop working on us. That's what we're signing up for. Because then we're his. And he says, wait, I'm going to fight for mine. I'm going to fight for those who are mine. Wouldn't you? Listen, if you want to get on my bad side, you hurt one of my family members. You hurt my family. You're going to meet a new Pastor Chad, a different Pastor Chad. Does that make sense? I'm going to be like, hey, you're not going to talk to them like that. You lay your hands on them again, and it will not be pretty. Do you understand what I'm getting at? But look at that from the perspective of Jesus Christ being our Lord and Master, and we're his. He's like, whoa, back off. They're mine. They're mine. And when we do this, it's a heart issue. This is an aspect of saying, Jesus has changed my heart. And he's still changing my heart. I'm saying yes to him. And I want to live my life to honor him. Is this making sense? Okay. So we get to when this morning here in just a little bit, when to bring the person up out of the water, that symbolizes that new life. Okay? So it's a big deal. And their hair is going to be everywhere. Hair maybe all over the place. And really, guess what? It's kind of a vulnerable moment for those who get baptized. Can you raise your hand if you've been baptized before? Oh, look at all those hands. That's awesome. Okay, so I asked him to do that for those of you who are getting baptized today because I wanted you to know that others have been vulnerable too. Shirt's wet, and they stick to you. It's no fun. That part is no fun. And hair maybe in the face, girl, for the ladies. Some of us don't have that problem. But baptism is a big deal. It's a big deal because it's a public confession of a decision that someone made in their heart. But I also want to show you something else. Look at this. And my wife and I, we had a couple conversations about water baptism recently. And so she helped open my mind to some more of it. And then I'm reading scripture. And before I get there, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul writes, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Praise God." It says the old life is gone. Okay, the old life is gone. A new life has begun. That's incredible. That moment, maybe in an altar, maybe in someone's car, maybe at the marketplace, that moment that a person hears the gospel and responds in faith, that very moment, they become new on the inside. It's awesome. Yeah, we call it a born-again experience. Well, why do you call it that? Well, if you go and look at Matthew chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, "Hey, Nicodemus, you've got to be, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to inherit eternal life, you've got to be born again." And Nicodemus scratches his head like, "Huh? How would I go into my mother's womb again? That's weird." You should read the Bible. It's incredible. There's all kinds of crazy, cool stuff in there. I'm serious. And Jesus said, "No, Nicodemus, come on, catch up." He's saying you just become new on the inside. And then Paul later in this verse helps us to understand that better. When we say yes to Jesus, we're giving up that old life and accepting a new life. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a few minutes. If you have never done that, or maybe it's been a long, long time and you haven't had an active relationship with Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity to restart that or begin that in just a few moments before we do baptisms. But I want to show you something else. It's really cool. Matthew chapter 3. Okay, this is what we already talked about. Jesus went to John the Baptist and said, "Hey, I'd like to be baptized." And John probably, anyway, verse 15 here, it says, "But Jesus said to John," he said, "it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." Baptism is something that God requires. But I want you to pay attention. So John agreed to baptize him. Look at verse 15. Look at this. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened. Did you hear that? Okay. Right over here, in just a few minutes, when these individuals, there's going to be 10 of them, I believe, unless I can't count, which is possible, when they come up out of the water, I'm believing that the heavens over their life is going to be opened. Okay? Now, they've already come alive in Christ, but this is just one more act of obedience, or let me also say an act of worship. We worship well ago, we sang out loud, we raised our hands, but you know there's all kinds of acts of worship, right? It's anything that I believe that an act of worship, worship is anything that we do because Jesus said we should or shouldn't do it. There's a lot of shoulds, by the way. Christianity is not just about the don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that. He's not trying to take away your fun. He's trying to keep you from being chained. Okay, that's it. Hey, I need somebody to go downstairs and grab the especially the two kids who are getting baptized. And now it's your cue, Becky. That's your cue. Hey, I've missed cues before. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hey, can I also say, for those of you, I told you I was going to give you an opportunity. If you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, can I ask you to bow your hearts? If you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life this morning, you're ready. You see, you realize that you've got to have a relationship with Christ. We can only get to heaven through Jesus. We sang about him a while ago. He's incredible. And if you're ready to begin a relationship with him, maybe for the first time, or maybe it's been a long time, would you just slip up your hand if you're ready to do that, ready to begin a relationship with Christ? Uh-huh. Is there anyone else? Yeah. Anyone else?